I've been thinking for several days. I want to see God. Is that possible today? Have you been able to see God this past week? I was looking at a verse I'd like to start with over in Psalms 10 and 4. It says, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." You know, that's a picture of the world around us today. Many people, their thoughts are not turned toward God. You know, nature itself should cause our thoughts to be turned toward God. The beautiful sunrises that we see, the sunsets that we see. You know, as a Christian, it ought not take much for me to see God. A flower, the beauties even of fruit that you can buy in a store, the colors that God put in nature itself for us to enjoy. And I was thinking of the verse in Matthew 5 and 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What a contrast from this verse in the 10th chapter. The wicked through the pride of his countenance doesn't seek after God. God's not in all his thoughts. And then on the other hand, those that are pure in heart will be able to see God. Not just, whenever I say I want to see God, do we say, okay, sounds like we're going to have to die first. You know what? We can see God all around us today. I was thinking of our song number 490. It said, "I see the King in all his beauty while resting there alone with God." You ever get real, real quiet and see God? Recognize him to be close. It says, "Alone with God, the world forbidden. Alone with God, O blessed retreat. Alone with God and in him hidden, to hold with him communion sweet." I'd like to look at a verse over in Psalms 24 and 7. Whenever I'm getting to, I want to recognize God. Psalms 24 and 7. Look at this little picture here. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It says up at the top of this chapter, that's a Psalm of David. And I was looking in the commentary, it was saying that this is speaking of the time when it's now time for them to bring the ark into Jerusalem for its final resting place. And them coming up to the gates and the people that are opening the gates recognizing the significance of what's happening. This is the ark where God himself dwells. And it's saying, "Open up these gates and the King of glory shall come in." You know what? Even for today, I can have that same request. Lord, I'd like for the gates of my understanding to be opened up, that I can recognize more his power, his majesty. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, you know, for several weeks, a few weeks ago, we talked about trying to see what are the attributes of Christ. When he was a human here on earth, what were the characteristics of him? Because we sing the song, "More Like Christ, My Heart Is Praying." So I need to see how he lived his life back then to pattern mine after it. There's something I'm interested in tonight. Is I would like for us to look at the characteristics of God, the attributes of God. Yes. And when I looked at those and I tried to separate those that God has and those that Jesus had, you know what? I ran into a problem because they overlap. And it made me think of something. We don't hear so much about it now, but it would be something good for us to think about: the Trinity. Yes. It is so easy for me when I hear the name Jesus to just think about when he was a baby that came to earth and lived his life for 33 years and died and went back to heaven again. But when we think about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, we find that those attributes start overlapping. Some of them, one of them at least, I would like to talk about tonight. I would like to think about the word omniscient. Yes. It's a characteristic of God. And what does it mean? Knowing everything. Yes. So when I started saying, okay, I want to know, I've looked a few weeks ago, I know now about Christ when he was here. And now I would like to know about God. So I look at this omniscient and understand God knows everything.
Yes.
But then I realized, oh, wait a minute. Jesus, when he was here on earth, knew everything.
Yes.
You know, he knew ahead of time what was going to happen tomorrow. He knew, remember when he went to the woman at the well and he told her, go call your husband. And she said, I don't have one. And he said, that's true. You don't have one. You've had five already. You know what he was telling her was, I'm not just the ordinary man that's here needing a drink of water. This is something divine right here. So she said, I perceive something. I perceive that you must be a prophet. So I want to ask you something. A prophet that can foretell the future, would we give him the title of omniscient? Nope.
No.
Because you know what's happening? Remember when Elisha, the king of Syria, when he surrounded the town that Elisha was in? And that one was one of them, but another one that I'm thinking of was when the king of Syria had plans to fight the Israelites. And those plans were given to Elisha to be able to tell and protect the king. Was he omniscient? No. He was sharing what had been revealed to him from God Almighty. John on the Isle of Patmos, when he was able in all those chapters to foretell the future, was he omniscient? No, and he admits it. What does he say? Things were revealed to him. First chapter of Revelations, the very first verse starts out to the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. So, you know, those prophets, they never took the credit. Those things that they were able to share with others, they didn't say, I've got something really special. I know everything. Daniel didn't even do it. You remember when the king said, I had a dream. I need someone to tell me what the dream means. And he had a whole lot of soothsayers that said, we're ready. You tell me what the dream is and we'll tell you what the interpretation is. And you remember he said, I got one problem. I forgot the dream. And if you are who you say you are, then you'll tell me what I dreamed plus what the revelation is. And they said, that is not possible. That is reserved for the gods. And it surely is. And you remember Daniel, when he went to God and God gave him the dream, and he was able with confidence to go back to the king and say, this is what you dreamed. You know what? Daniel did not take credit for that. All credit went back to the one that is omniscient, that knows everything, and he just revealed it to man. And I was thinking of another place. This is in John 1 and 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to meet him, he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And that piqued Nathanael's attention. And he said, how do you know me? And he said, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And you know what that did? Is that opened Nathanael's mind. Oh, this man right here knows things that are going on. So when Jesus was here in the flesh, there were some attributes of God that Christ had before he ever came down here to be a human. And he continued to have those while he was here. And that was one of them. You remember there's several places in the New Testament, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where it said that Jesus perceived their thoughts. Yes. That is not possible for anybody but God to be able to do. But Jesus had that attribute, omniscient. And so it's so easy for me to think of Jesus as being a human here for 33 years, and he's gone back. But he was with God at the creation. Yes. He is omniscient, yes, knows everything. But I'd like to look at John, the first chapter. It's interesting when you look at this as being a telling about Jesus. John 1 and 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. And when we read this out, we find out that these verses are talking about Christ. Yes. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So you remember when we're talking about the Trinity? How can you separate them? They're so close together. The Word was with him. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. So we're still talking about Jesus here. And without him was not anything made that was made. This is before Jesus took on flesh and became a human. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it goes on down in the 14th verse. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now that's something. This Word that was with God, Jesus with God, was God, in the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then it tells us, he became flesh and dwelt among us. So I was looking at that. When it says the Word, I was reading in the commentary, and it said, the Word is how we communicate. Christ expressed God's will to us when he came, when he was made flesh and came down among us. But we notice he still possessed the power to be omniscient, all-knowing. And there's some verses that tell us that. You know, he still had the power to end the storm, say, peace, be still, and that storm ceased. There's a verse that tells us about this, about Jesus in Matthew 28 and 18, because this has given me more of a respect for Christ when I start trying to distinguish God, and I find you can't hardly separate him from Christ. 28 and 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given to me. So I was thinking of his ability to heal all manner of sickness and disease when he was here. All power was given to him. He had unlimited power. And then do you remember when Pilate talked to him? John 19 and 9. Because what I start seeing is God had the ability to hold back that power because he had some things that needed to be fulfilled. In the 19th chapter of John, and so we're trying to find the attributes of God, but we have to see that it mixes with Jesus. 19 and 9, it says, in the judgment hall, they say to Jesus, whence art thou? Jesus gave you no answer. Pilate said to him in the 10th verse, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee? I have power to release thee. And Jesus said, you could have no power at all against me, except it were given to thee from above. To think of the power that Christ had, and yet he said there's something that needs to be fulfilled. You know, when we think of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit has a purpose. God has a purpose. Jesus had a purpose. Jesus being willing to come down and be made flesh with all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Remember, at any time he could have said, it's enough. Remember where it said he could have called 12 legions of angels and put an end to it. You know, it gave me a whole lot more respect as I start seeing, there's not much difference between God and Jesus before he became flesh. So what he was doing was Jesus held back the unlimited power that he had because I've got a mission. You remember whenever he was asking God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what? It was possible for that cup to pass from him. All he had to say is, I'm through. These people are not worth me going through this kind of effort for. But he was willing to go all the way with that, with the unlimited power that he had to be able to stop it. You know, we can have troubles come into our life, and there's not anything we can do in ourselves to stop it. He had the ability to stop it. Because of what he did, it makes me think of this song. I ought to love my Savior. He bore my sin and shame. From glory to the manger, on wings of love he came. He trod this earth in sorrow. He endured the pains of hell, that I should not be banished, but in his presence dwell. God, omniscient. Jesus, omniscient. Yes. Knowing everything. And I'm human. And I'm moving through life. Making choices. Making decisions. You know how valuable it is for me to get a hold to this? That God knows everything.
Amen.
Over in Ecclesiastes, because here's the thing. Remember it says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that both you and your seed can live. You know how I'm going to choose life more? Is when I have a reverence for who God is. When I have an understanding, not just in my head, but in my heart, God sees everything that I'm doing. Over in Ecclesiastes, right in the very last of the book, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
Yes.
Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. How's he going to be able to do that? Because he knows everything. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, I need to remember that all of my deeds one day will be brought into judgment. I will be judged by those, not from a person that has tried to follow me and see what I'm doing. And sometimes I can hide something from him. But God Almighty that knows everything, it causes me to have more of a reverence for him when I understand this. Over in Revelations 20 and 12, that picture of the great white throne, I need to always, as I'm going through life, keep that picture in my mind. From whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And it says that there were some books open, and people were judged out of those books according to the deeds that they have done. You know how easy it is for me to keep my deeds from you being able to see it? But the most important thing for me to recognize is I cannot keep any of them from God. And I don't want this fear of God that it talks about. I don't want it to be just I'm scared of hell. No, I want to have this reverence that God sees everything. You know, I should be thankful that he sees everything. He knows everything. It's easy for that to happen if I'm living my life right. There's a verse in Romans 14 and 12. Everyone is going to give account of himself to God. You know, we read some places in the scripture about darkness and how the evil deeds want to be done in the darkness. And yet, if we just realize, you know what? God has night vision. God is able to see in the nighttime just as well as he can see in the daytime. He knows the things that are going on. And in Romans 13 and 12, I think this verse was even mentioned this morning. Someone mentioned it. That we need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor. You know, light is an armor to us. it's be able to reveal to us the right and the wrong. Cast off those works of darkness and put on the armor of light. When I start from the heart, understanding that God is omniscient.
Yes.
He is all-knowing. He knows everything. Then from the heart, I need to be praying that prayer in Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God.
Yes.
Know my heart. Lord, you know it already. I understand that because you are all-knowing. But my prayer is, I want you to search me so that I can understand. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There is something interesting in this chapter. It starts in the seventh verse, 139 and 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? Who in the Bible tried it? Jonah. You know, how could Jonah have even thought, if I was going to run from God, I believe the last place I'd go is in the water, because I really am defenseless in the water. At least keep my feet on dry ground. But instead, I'm going to flee, so I'm going to go the opposite direction, because surely he won't be able to see me there. Whither shall I go from thy presence? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. You know how many people that are doing wickedness at night are saying, surely the darkness is covering me. It says, even the night shall be light about me. So when I recognize these things, God sees everything. It says, the 12th verse, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Who wrote Psalms 139? My mind says it's a Psalm of David. David wrote it. What a knowledge he had of who God was. I cannot hide anything from him, no matter where I go, no matter what I do. Now, I don't know if your Bible says it or not, but I'm wondering, when was this written? Was this written before Bathsheba? What was going on in David's mind on that day? And the day that he wrote the letter to have Uriah killed. You know, it's important for us in choices that we make, in decisions that we make. You know, it had to be that David said, nobody sees what's going on here. This thing is covered and hidden. If he could have just realized what he had written here, if this were written before that time, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If he had been able to take these verses, I don't know when it was written, but he had that knowledge. I believe he had that knowledge always. But sometimes we can forget it. May I walk with a carefulness before God? There are going to be temptations come. There are going to be choices made in how we deal with others, places that we go, things that we see, those kind of things. May I always remember this word, omniscient. God has all power. God knows everything. There are several words that describe him. One is that he has all power. One is that he knows everything. Tonight we're dealing with what he knows. And I need to have a conclusion. Fear God, keep his commandments, because he knows everything. There is a verse in Luke 12 and 2. It says, there's not anything that's covered that shall not be revealed. It's going to be uncovered. You know, we have today unsolved crimes. Crimes that were committed that are still on the books. A cold case We have tried every way we can if not be able to figure out who caused this, who did it. And we hear about the perfect crime, somebody that committed it and were never caught. I was reading, and maybe you have read it in the news just recently. There was a news article. It said there was a young man in his early 20s. He was hired as a bank teller. And as he worked there, he was watching the system, and he saw there is a way for me to make off with a pile of cash. And he did it one night. It was like a country bank or some where they were kind of lax. They weren't as strict and careful as they should have been. And he made off, this is years ago, he made off with, I forget, maybe $200,000. Seemed like that's a lot of money. And when he left, you know, some of the easiest way to be caught is because you can't keep from talking. You're going to tell somebody about the money that you stole or something, and then you're caught. This man didn't do that. In fact, when he left, he took on a new identity in another big city. He never talked to his parents again. He never talked to relatives again. He never talked to friends again. As far as everyone knew that knew him, he had died somewhere. For many, many years, one day, there's an old man dying, and he tells his wife and family that he was the man that did this years and years ago. You know, my hope is that he told it because he realized, I'm going out to meet the one that knows. I have made it all this time, changed his identity. I thought about that. Was it worth it? Can you imagine leaving family and friends and erasing it all and starting a new life and never mentioning a thing about it that even his family, now that he has a wife and children that, well, by the time he died, they were on up in years and they never had a clue about it until he's on his dying bed and says, this is what I did. And then he died. You know what? If he could just realize God knows.
Yes.
Nobody here knows. And there's something else to think about. We would think, well, he got away with it. You know, one of the worst things to do is for it not to be exposed in this life.
Yes.
And I take it to my grave. And I meet up with the one that is at the great white throne that says over in Ecclesiastes, he's going to judge everything, every secret thing, those things that nobody else knows anything about. There's a verse in 1 Timothy 5 and 24. It says, some men's sins are open beforehand. And when I read these verses, I understand that what they were talking about was in appointing men to sacred offices, that their characters need to be examined. And some men's sins, what they have done, they come beforehand, some come afterwards. But I don't think it does this scripture any injustice to use about what we're talking about tonight. If I used it about this example of that news article, well, hopefully he was repenting to God before he went out into eternity and sending his sins on ahead, stamped forgiven. Some men's sins, they can leave out of here saying, I lived my life and no one knew what I did, and then stand before God Almighty.
Amen.
You know what a blessing it would be to deal with it here and then have it, when I stand before God, it has forgiven stamped on it. That is such value. We sing this song, nothing can we hide from his all-seeing eye, whether on the land or in the sea or sky. Darkness cannot hide us from his blessed face, for his holy presence dwells in every place. You know, I don't think God ever intended us to be afraid of him being omniscient.
No.
and knowing everything. That ought to be a blessing to us to realize God knows my tomorrows. You know, when Jesus was here, he was able to recognize what tomorrow would hold. He knew when he came into Jerusalem and they were laying down the palm leaves and laying their coats on the ground. You know, if that were me, I could have felt really good about the how much the people appreciated me. You know, Jesus recognized that he's just 7 days away from hanging on the cross. He knew what would change, and yet he was willing to go on through that. So this is just one attribute of God. He knows everything. There's another attribute of God that I would like for us to just think about over the next days. Omnipresent. He is present in all places at all times. You know what? We ought to thank God for that. When Jesus was here, and we won't go into this part of it, except for this. This is one attribute that Jesus laid down when he took upon him the form of a servant and was made flesh. Yes. As when he took on being a human, he no longer could be present in all places at all times. He gave that up. In fact, when he was coming down to die, he said, "It's needful for me to go away, because now this Trinity, God the Father, now here's been God the Son, and he has come and done his job, and now he's soon to go back. It's needful for me that I go away, because if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come." What about the Holy Spirit? Is he omnipresent? Yes. All places, yes. At all times. Jesus said, "It's needful for me to go back, because being a human, I have to be in just one place at one time." You remember the people when they wanted to be healed? Got to find where he is. Right. If he's on the other side of the sea and I want to be healed, I'm going to have to go where he is. Folks, we got so much to be thankful for, that God is everywhere. May I go through my life appreciating the fact and not fearing the fact. Live my life to where it's an open book before the Lord. Live in my life where I say, "Lord, I want you to do the searching." Amen. And if there's anything in my life that you are not pleased with, I'd like to know it on this side instead of on the other side. Because I understand when I stand before you to give an account, there's going to be some books open that will record all of my deeds. You know what? I am so thankful that he knows everything. He knows my tomorrow, and he would like to prepare me for tomorrow. To be able to, the grace that he has for us, to be able to prepare us for that. So I want to, out in the future, start telling him, "Lord, you know everything. You know what's out in ahead for me. Would you help me to be able to prepare for those things that are out ahead?" I am so thankful that he knows everything. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's song number 39. It is about this portion of who God is. The title of it is God Omniscient. It says, "God all wise, with thy ever searching heart, look within me, view my heart, keep me pure in every part. With thy ever searching eye, look within me, view my heart." Be able to look inside of me, and I recognize he can see it all. I am thankful for that. I want him to lead me through my life. And I want to see these things of the attributes of who God is. He has all power. Yes. He has all knowledge. And he can be in all places at all times. I am very thankful for that.